Brought to you by the Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters. Thank you so much, Chan Hassen, for supporting us for so many years. If you want to know what's happening at Chan Hassen, and there is a lot, just go to Chan Hassen DT for Dinner Theater, ChanHassenDT.com, and you'll see all the shows. Now, Newsies is playing through September 29th at the Chan Hassen. That goes very quickly, so you want to get in and see the show as soon as possible. But there are all sorts of tribute shows and comedy. There is so much going on at Chan Hassen. Just go to ChanHassenDT.com. Also want to mention, Chicago is Tuesday through Sunday at the Orpheum Theater. Love that show. Speechless is through June 10th at the Lab Theater. And, of course, the Billie Holiday show that we talked about last Sunday, Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, is now at the Jungle Theater through June 24th. Also, there's some concerts we'll tell you about later on in the show. I want to get to our first guest. Really, she's a remarkable person. Performers sing, move, tell stories, call the audience to process, chant, holler back, build altars, and celebrate life. This is all in a show called That Black Mermaid Man Lady, the show. Let's visit with the person who came up with this whole idea, Sharon Bridgeforth. Welcome to CCL, Sharon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
Thank you so much. Celebrating black mermaids, sheroes, and old people that fly. Tell us more. What a title. What a show. Tell us.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, I feel that at the heart of it, I am just really investigating and celebrating my own family and our family histories as African-Americans that were part of the Great Migration. So I was blessed to be raised by some very determined and vibrant and hardworking people that passed on a lot of fantastic traditions, including storytelling. And I, at the end of the day, I think I'm just trying to tell stories as good as them. But this piece, in many ways, for me, is an honoring of what they passed on through my own way of telling and sharing stories.
Mm-hmm. Are you only looking through the lens of the past, or is it past, present, and possibly future?
It's in this, in the world of this piece, the architecture of it is a Yoruba spiritual cosmology, and in that context, the past, the present, the future, the living, the dead, the unborn coexist. And I feel that as a child of the Great Migration, in a lot of ways, that's what it also felt like at home. So people carrying and repeating and sharing stories from the past that were very much alive and present in our daily lives. But, you know, but there we were in flesh in the present moment.
There are so many communities of color who really do practice telling the stories like the Griots did, you know, telling the stories that should have been passed on and on and on. I don't care if you're Latino or black or African. We know what that means and how important it is to family. My mother sits all of her grandchildren at her feet every Christmas Eve, and she tells them stories about growing up and what she expects of them, and that you have a legacy that you have to fulfill. And a lot of people don't have that. Maybe they were adopted, or maybe they were told they were one type of person, but their 1, 2, 3 kit that they got in the mail told them they were someone completely different. But overall, in the world, we're really seeking out who we really are.
Absolutely. And what an awesome treasure that is being circulated and passed on in your family. And I now, for myself, like, I appreciate those kinds of stories that were given to me, and that profound repetition, which held history. It held, like, kind of like keys for life. It held ingredients for survival. It held medicine. And so I now understand it, and I'm very grateful that I actually loved to listen. And so I'm holding all of that now, and I think that's what I really want to offer in this story. And I feel the same way. I think people of Earth based traditions, people of color, like, you know, like it's part of our DNA and who we are, that we hold spirit in this way.
Right, because this is an interactive piece, so I must piece. So I must ask, how white people, Europeans, is this a difficult environment for, are they responding to the piece as well?
Yeah, they are, you know, and I think that, you know, everybody has their own journey, their own stories. I think that at the end of the day, especially the more specific you are, the more that humanity comes to the forefront, and people that maybe have different backgrounds and different life experiences still have, I feel, the same yearning, driving desire for a better life for next generations, for a need for healing, a desire for things to be better, and the like soul requirement for deep connection. And I think that that's really what we're circulating. And a lot of the folks that are white are also from, you know, ethnic European origins, where a lot of these ways of telling stories are also circulated. You know, it may be different, but they also kind of recognize that dirt in the earth, too.
Right, exactly. So have you penned a book from this experience?
The show is an excerpt from something I call a performance novel. So actually, I have a longer version of this that I am going to seek a publisher for. But the longer piece is, like, it doesn't quite work in performance. It's a little too long. It's a little too much. And so I kind of lift it from that, and that's what we're performing at Pillsbury House Theater. But I'm praying up on that book.
I can imagine.
I want that book.
You know, as we look forward, really, that's what we have to do. We have to look back and remember where we've been, but we have to look forward as well. I can mm-hmm. just imagine how Pillsbury House has felt about bringing you in to present this piece, and how it is changing people. People will change their, maybe add another type of thing that they do every year, you know, a ritual or something that's part of their legacy that they add to it just by seeing your show. Have you heard anything about that from any audience members?
What I've heard a lot of is people feeling witnessed, you know, people expressing like, oh, that's my family, or, oh, we do that too, or, oh, I needed that, you know. And I think, and I must say that the performers are exquisite. So we have these powerhouse performers. There are so many layers of things going on. The performers are powerhouse. Monkwe Ndosi is the vocal composer, and she has created out of the text and the songs that I wrote, she composed the voices of the cast. And so you have this layer of song. And then Ebony, the way that she directs, incorporates a lot of movement and gestural language and really embodied ritual. So so a lot of traveling and synchronized expression. So I think there are so many things going on at the same time, and so many pieces that we recognize in different ways that, yes, people have expressed, I think the way I would call it is feeling witnessed. And people have told me that they're coming back, and I have seen people, I was at the first three shows, and I've seen people at multiple shows bringing people. So I'm really excited and grateful for that, too, and for that kind of support from the audience.
And this is what theater is supposed to do. It's supposed to challenge us, start the conversation, and change us, transform us. And it sounds like you are doing exactly that. Now, this is playing until when?
June 24th.
June 24th. That's all the time you've got. All you have to do is go to Pillsbury House and Theater with a T-R-E at the end, .org. Again, that's Pillsbury House and Theater, .org. What a pleasure to have you on, Sharon.
Oh,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much. And just shout out to everyone and blessings to all.
Blessings to all. Blessings to you. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let me tell you something about Yoruba. If you ever read up on it, it is life-changing. And some of the rituals that are done, it really does focus on ancestors and how that's passed through and how you are responsible to carry on certain rituals and traditions. It's really remarkable. So if you get a chance, read about it. You hear about Yoruba and people go, oh, no, I don't want to know anything about it. Learn about it. I am interested in world religions. If you can just read about it, we're all better for it, right? Learn who and what and why, and that will answer a lot of questions for you. Get a chance to go see it. Go see it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Rohan Preston in just a moment. Welcome back to Center Stage. All things arts and entertainment, we just believe you ought to know about it. There is so much going on in this town. It's amazing. So I really enjoy bringing you some ideas. If you like what you hear, do email me here at Intercom. And I'd love to hear what you think about the shows that we are presenting, making sure that you feel satisfied as well. Well, my next guest is Rohan Preston, lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune. How you doing, Ro?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, you're great. Now, you know, that makes me happy.
I am. I'm seeing a lot more shows and just getting back into my rhythm, and I feel good. So that's wonderful.
Let's quickly talk about Bad News. I was there. I love that tagline. Over at the Guthrie Theater.
Yes. So this show, Joanne Acolytis is a world-renowned director who directed the screens at the Guthrie back in 1989, and that caused a sensation. It was a 5.5-hour show with lots of everyone coming in from all over the world to see it. And it put the Guthrie on the map in the firmament in a way that was really quite remarkable. Well, she hasn't really been back since 94. And so she did this show with all the Greek, a show about news and messengers who deliver the news, reporters, basically. Mm-hmm. And it used Greek text, but it mentioned fake news and all kinds of stuff. So Greek text from Oedipus, from Euripides, from Antigone, and from, you know, just all of these classic pieces done really well. It was a promenade style show, started in the lobby of the Guthrie in public spaces, went up to the fourth floor in four separate areas, and then went up to the top of the theater to the ninth floor. And each way we are led by guides or actors. It had gorgeous music, and I mean, I could talk for days about this show.
So you loved it, I see. This is definitely a show for Rohan.
It was. It was really astonishing, and what was really also fabulous about it is that it, you know, this is using very old texts and all the actors. There are eight principal actors. And then an ancillary supportive cast as well. All the actors handled that language so well. The actors are Stephen Yoakam, Nathaniel Fuller, Emily Gonyu Hollis, Anne Michaels, Jacoby Johnson. I could go on and name all of them because Eric Sharp was also wonderful. They all handled it well, and they had a real sense of the stakes, you know, of what was at play in this show. It felt really amazing. My only problem with it is that it only lasted this
2 days.
And they,
I don't get it. Why is that? For such a remarkable piece.
I mean, it was so unusual.
I mean, it was 90 minutes, no intermission, right?
There was no intermission, but there was a talk back at the end. And the first show was at 5:30 a.m. on Saturday, and the last show is, I think, is happening right now. What was interesting for me is, you know, obviously you get up at 3 in the morning on a Saturday morning, and then you head to the theater. It feels like this ritual. The day is coming. The night is going. And it feels epic, basically, and that you're part of something really, really special.
I'm amazed that it only lasted 2 days. So many people need to see a show.
Yeah,
like this.
This was the premiere. They've tested it elsewhere, and I certainly wish that they would, do it again here for us. You know.
Yeah. Well, you were there. You can actually say I was there.
I was.
All right. Tell us about the Jungle Theater, Lady Day, with Thomasina Petras.
Okay, so I've had the best week of theater going because everything I've seen has been wonderful in one way or another. And Thomasina has been playing Billie Holiday now for well over a decade.
Oh, absolutely.
So she has a deep understanding, intimate understanding of her, not just her artistry, but her life. And because the actor has a life experience. She does a really wonderful job at the Jungle Theater in this show. You know, I should say that Audra McDonald won a Tony for playing the role on Broadway.
Right. That's right.
And she was wonderful in it. She was good. Thomasina embodies it. She lives it. It feels like you close your eyes and Billie Holiday's in the
standing
room.
There. Absolutely. In fact, last Sunday, I had a chance to interview her about the show. And she said so many people kept telling her a decade ago, you sound just like her, you sound just like her. And she's such a great actress, too. So I can just imagine how the show has materialized and grown and become so much more beautiful over a decade. So let's talk about the band. Does she have a band or just a pianist?
Yes, she has a rhythm section. Tom West is a pianist. And they have a bassist and a drummer, and that really ups the ante, really fills out the sound, and you get a sense of play, and much more of an interaction. And you also, I mean, you just get a fuller, harder driving story. And Maren McClinton, by the way, directed it.
Directed it, absolutely.
Wonderful job.
Billie Holiday's story is not easy to tell. It's not easy to even take in. Yet this show is selling like crazy. She's doing very well.
This show is completely sold out.
Completely sold out? Oh, my gosh.
Completely sold out.
Congratulations to the Jungle Theater and Thomasina. Awesome.
Yeah, you go on the website and it says sold out, call the box office. So I imagine that, you know, there may be spare people returning tickets here and there, but it's a tough one. I mean, it's it's a great problem to have.
They might need to take this next time to the Guthrie Theater and do a collaboration between the Jungle Theater and the Guthrie.
I could see
and maybe
that.
Put it in the Red Room,
see
right?
That. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Another show that you had a chance to see. Tell
yes.
us about it.
So my week of grace and great blessings. Altogether. I mean, last night I went to see the opening of Under the Lintel. Sally Wingert plays this librarian who gets a book back, tells us the story. So it's basically a one person show. Tells us the story of a librarian who gets a book back that's overdue by over 100 years. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and the person, the book is not returned in person, it's dropped in a box. And so she's like, what? And so she goes on this search to find out
who would put a 100-year-old book
that checked out this book.
Yeah. That must have been amazing.
That's the sort of the narrative spine, but it's really a search about that has to do with faith, has to do with the being present. In history and here at the moment, it has to do with all kinds of things, and it plays with the idea of the wandering Jew, which is both a plant, the name of a plant, but also this idea of culture and cultural retention coming through many different places and phases and. All over the world, but also, and I should say this, it plays with this idea of what we have in common. You know, how we retain culture, how we spread culture, how we talk to each other, and how we live together. You know.
Yeah, if we can just stay focused on that, we'll be okay. I worry that we're not focusing on that after some of the interviews
I had
today.
But Sally Wingert is amazing.
Yeah.
And she carries it on her very muscular shoulders. Mm-hmm. She embodies this character. This is a character who basically travels all over the world to try to solve this problem, but also travels through history and gives us all this cultural richness along the way. We talk about fox hunting, we talk about botany, we talk about different types of food. Mm-hmm. The librarian goes to England, goes to Germany, goes to China, goes to Australia, all these clues, and becomes this kind of detective trying to solve this problem of, like, who is this person?
And is that still playing?
Yes.
Okay, and it's playing through?
It is playing, and I'll tell you in 1 second. I'm sorry, here.
First of all, okay, go ahead.
So, it's playing through July 1st.
July 1st. All right, that's a substantial run.
It's a very long run.
So all right.
July 1st at the Ritz Theater.
All right, at the Ritz Theater. I'm so glad it's still with us. I'm so glad it survived. Rohan, it's always a pleasure, sir.
What a joy. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. If anyone would like some information about Rohan Preston's writings, his critiques, just go to startribune.com/Rohan Preston. We'll be back. Well, welcome back to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. Want to let you know something really important. So, yeah, seriously, take a listen. WCCO is a proud partner with Twin Cities Public Television in presenting Minnesota Remembers Vietnam, The Wall That Heals. Now, it is a scale mobile replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., and it's coming to the state capitol grounds on June 21st through June 24th. Now, it's open to the public 24 hours a day, allowing Minnesotans the opportunity to remember, honor, understand, and heal, and even do rubbings of individual service members' names or family members' names. So for more information, please visit m-n-vietnams.com. Again, that's m-n-vietnams.org/wall for more information. All right. Our next guest that we are talking to has been around for a long time. Have you ever heard of Machinery Hill? Well, this band is a blend of Americana, folk, and bluegrass, and they are staples of outdoor music in Minnesota. In fact, they love that they do bars and festivals, and they're just fine with that. Well, joining us is the horn player with Machinery Hill, and that is Brian Handlin. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. You guys just keep going, man. It's just like the ever-ready battery. Seriously, how long have you been with the band?
I'm actually one of the new guys in the band. I've only been with the band about 2 years. But this band has been around since, I believe, 1987.
Exactly, right?
Which is almost as old as me.
Yeah, I would throw the almost in myself. You know, here's the thing about this band. This band just keeps going. And, of course, Minnesota, and in fact, I would say the region itself, really loves Americana folk music and bluegrass. Now, there was a time that I didn't, Brian. But since I was a part of a Prairie Home Companion for so many years, I have to tell you that I love it. I still listen to it on the radio. I still listen to it on CDs. And so knowing that, is this all that you play, or do you venture out into other genres?
We do a lot of different stuff. Our band, we kind of go through ebbs and flows depending on who's in the band at the current time. We play mostly Americana, bluegrass. We play a lot of blues rock kind of music, but we play a lot of different stuff. We'll do ska music. We'll play klezmer music. We'll play Irish music. We'll play some jazz once in a while. So we have a pretty eclectic group, and it, you know, it's kind of a testament to the different backgrounds of the different musicians that are in the group, I think, that really help bring that together.
Okay, so here you are performing, and when people say, who is Machinery Hill, because you've been around for such a long time, are you seeing a younger audience come in and really check you guys out?
It depends on the gig. A lot of it depends on where we play. When we play bars, we tend to get some younger and some older. We play a lot of different events. Like, for example, we're playing in a couple of weeks, we're playing at the Lake Harriet Bandshell on Tuesday, June 12th, which we play every couple of summers.
Which is really fun, by the way.
And we get all kinds of families and kids and just people that walk by that go, what is this? This is cool. I've never heard music like this before.
No kidding. So, and you do coffee houses. Are you talking small coffee houses? How many musicians are in the band?
There are six of us. Occasionally for a big show, we'll add one or two extras, but the core group, our leader, Dada Hartman, plays accordion and sings and writes most of the music. And then we have a bass player, Mike Reese, who sings also. Guitar player, Dale Inquist. And then our drummer is Brian Russ, and he plays drums and percussion. And then our sixth man, Bill Lee, plays a lot of stuff, mostly saxophone. But he also plays some flutes, and he plays harmonicas. He plays ukulele and some percussion. And then I play saxophones, and I play some flute also.
So,
well, my goodness, I know who the MVP is. Okay, so here you are with coffee houses. We have large coffee houses, thank goodness, in the Twin Cities. But, you know, you travel other places as well, and a lot of times people just expect a guitarist singing and playing, and then there's you, there's Machinery Hill. What's the response?
It depends. Usually people are really supportive of it. Sometimes if it's a smaller room, you know, we have to be really careful to keep our volume down. But we'll play places like we play once a month, every second Friday of the month at the Black Dog Cafe in St. Paul, which is a great room for music. They have music multiple nights a week. They have jazz every Saturday. And that stage is great. There's plenty of room for us, and we can kind of play whatever we want. We also occasionally do shows at the Underground Music Cafe in Falcon Heights, which is a nice little room. We do all kinds of different stuff, though.
So where's the Black Dog Cafe in the Twin Cities?
Black Dog is in Lower Town, St. Paul.
Yes.
Basically right across the street from where the farmer's market is.
That's right.
And where CHS Field, where the Saints play baseball.
What a great location to get people in. After the game, they come over and hear some great music and that sort of thing. So you're playing this coming Thursday, did you say?
Friday.
This coming Friday.
This coming Friday, which is June 8th.
Okay, if people want more information to make sure they know what's up, can they bring children, that sort of thing, where do they go?
Of course. We have the most updated place we have information is our Facebook page. If you search for Machinery Hill on Facebook, we're really easy to find. We also have a Google website. So if you search Machinery Hill, that'll come up, and our whole calendar is on there, including some of our band members have some side projects that we work on.
Yeah, side projects. I bet you all are involved in all kinds of stuff, right?
Oh, we do all kinds of stuff. We also have an album that we released a couple of years ago called Shifting Gears. It's available on Apple Music and Bandcamp, and you can find it on Spotify. So we're pretty easy to find on the internet.
Well, do you find that it's easier to get your music out when you're a small band? Not a small band, but when you're a band that's been around a long time, you've got a following. You know that if you do a project, it's going to sell so many copies or maybe more. Is it easier for you to do it that way, or had you ever hoped? Do you know if the band hoped to become bigger at one time or another?
You know, I don't actually know. The band has been around so much longer than I've been a part of it. I don't know the whole history. We do have a lot of members that'll come, or a lot of audience members that'll come to our shows and talk to us, and they'll tell us they've been coming to see the bands for 20
decades.
Years or more.
Yeah.
And then we have other people, of course, that just come in that have never heard of us before. So I think, you know, I'll talk to people and tell them I'm in Machinery Hill, and they'll go, I've heard of that.
I know that
Even
band.
Even if they don't
exactly.
know what our music is, they'll know the name because they've seen the band on so many different, you know,
television shows,
cards
yeah, yeah.
and mm-hmm. different things that they've just know that the band's been around for a long time, that the name has a following.
Exactly, Brian. And that says something, doesn't it? That really
it does
say something, that you have survived this long. So congratulations on joining a band that has, you know, lasted far longer than some of the really big, gigantic bands that are now trying to get together to, you know, to sell a tour because they need to, you know?
So, of course, yeah. Well,
what a blessing.
You.
Well, congratulations to you, Brian. And again, next Friday, look at the Black Dog. Do I have that right?
Black Dog Cafe, that's
there
exactly
you go.
Right.
Black Dog Cafe in St. Paul. It's in a great location. You don't want to miss it. It's a pleasure having you on. Tell the guys hello, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My goodness, so much going on. And to mention that, by the way, we've got some out. We talk to, you know, theater all the time with Rohan Preston, but we have shows that are happening. My brother Fred Steele is going to be at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club in the Dunsmore Room, that really amazing room called the Dunsmore. And I tell you, I really want you to go and see him if there are any tickets still available. It's a small room, very intimate, about 85 seats in there. And oh my gosh, I love that room. I just love it there. And they have made some huge renovations over there at Crooner's. If you haven't been in a while, make sure you get over and check it out because, boy, there's a lot going on. Also, Liz Fair is coming Monday at the Turf Club. Seriously, wow. Wow, how about that? Oh, by the way, if you want more information about the Dunsmore Room at Crooner's, just go to Crooner's Lounge and Supper. No, I'm sorry, Crooner's Lounge MN.com. Crooner's Lounge MN Cantus.com. Cantus does Fleetwood Mac. We talked about this last week. That's Thursday through Friday at the Kohl Center. Paul Simon is coming to the XL Energy Center. I mean, he's still doing it, right? Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys. with Dropkick Murphys. That's Friday at the Minneapolis Armory, which I hear is a fabulous renovation. And also, Winstock Music Festival is Friday and Saturday in Winstead. And you can also go online and check that out. Miranda Lambert is coming. Dierks Bentley, Brothers Osborne, Billy Currington, and so much more. There's so much going on in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. So don't go to sleep, honey. Go see a whole bunch. Get involved in the festivals that are available and free. Oh, my gosh. Make sure you stay tuned to St. Paul and all the festivals that they have as well. All right. We're going to take a break and get ready for our final guest in Center Stage. We'll be back in a moment. Want to just remind you once again about the Vietnam Memorial. WCCO is a proud partner with Twin Cities Public Television in presenting Minnesota Remembers Vietnam. The Wall That Heals is what it's called, and it's a scale model replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. And it's coming to the state capitol grounds on June 21st through the 24th. Again, June 21st through the 24th. Now, it's open to the public 24 hours a day, allowing all of us the opportunity to remember, honor, understand, and even heal. You can do the rubbings of the individual names like you can in D.C. as well. Make sure you come prepared for that. For more information, all you have to do is visit m-n-vietnams.org/wall. Let me give that one more time. m-n-vietnams.org/wall. You definitely want to get out there and check it out. All right. Our last guest is joining us to talk about how they are truly staying alive. Alive and Kicking are back. You can catch them starting next Friday through June 17th at the Bloomington Center for the Arts. Founder and artistic director of Alive and Kicking, the Twin Cities, Michael Matthew Farrell, is joining me to talk about Flashback, a musical tribute to memories and unforgettable artists. Welcome back, Michael. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, it's great to have you. You guys are so busy. I'm thrilled that you're back with Alive and Kicking. I mean, you've gone from having different sizes of this particular group, right?
Yeah. You know, when we started, it was almost 8 years ago. I held an audition, and I had 14 people show up.
Right.
And today, we are at 32 members of the ensemble. But then Alive and Kicking, we also have a lot of other different programmings where we go and do outreach into the community. We are based out of the Cora McCorvey Center in North Minneapolis.
Okay.
And we
where
do
is
a
that
lot
located?
Of, it is right off of Glenwood and DuPont. And it's the Cora McCorvey Center is a center that was designed for older Americans. And it's
okay.
Kind of a one-of-a-kind shop. I mean, the YMCA has a presence there, and they have healthcare, they have financial services. So we were blessed to move in there a few years ago as kind of the arts organization,
mm-hmm.
and that just has opened a lot of doors for us as an organization. So it's super exciting to be there and share our message and our joy in that way with a lot more people. So it really has grown quite a bit.
Tell us about the joy that's involved in watching these seniors get this done. I mean, I can just imagine. A lot of people think, you know, when you turn a certain age, that's it. You know, you need to sit at home and just wait to leave. And that's not what this is. And so many people try, so many seniors and senior organizations, they try to get the word out. They are not dead. Please understand that they are very clear of mind. Most of them, they come forward, they want to dance, they want to act, they want to do everything. And you've kind of brought that to them.
Yeah, you know, what I found too is, and I say this often, the seniors and our elders are the ones that really paved the way to a lot of where we are today, right? I mean, I get to live my life because of what they have done and what they have gone through, and their stories, Geraldine, are so brilliant, right? When you sit down and start talking to them and they start sharing just what they've been through, and I find them fascinating. They're a world of knowledge, and they have so much life left to live. And oftentimes, you know, somebody turns 65 and you're like, okay, well, you better slow down and you better just quit. And that's my experience is that's when so many of them are just coming to life, right? Because they don't have to work and we don't have to raise the kids anymore.
Right.
And they're just full of life. And so that misconception, you know, and I think that's what Alive and Kicking does, is we break down that box around what it means to age and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. And so do you offer this and open this up to all seniors, no matter what ailments they may have?
Absolutely. And as you can imagine, you know, they come with ailments, right?
Right.
I always say Alive and Kicking has had it. We're trying to get rid of it, or it's right around the corner. But that doesn't stop them from sharing their voice, whether it's in music or in story. And oftentimes that can be really healing for a lot of our members in particular.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, the older I get, the younger old gets. You know, all of a sudden you go, 90? Young man.
Right?
So
yeah.
it's from your perspective. Now, as I sit here and I look at your seating chart, I'm amazed at how many tickets you've sold already. I mean, you've been doing this now for, like you said, 8 years, I think?
Yeah.
And so you don't have many seats left, right?
We don't have many seats left. you know, we, this... Well, God willing, this will be our fourth year in a row completely selling out. And, you know, this company, Alive and Kicking, in this performance, there is nothing like this that I have ever seen. And I've been blessed and fortunate to be in this business a long time in theater. But there is nothing out there like this, where you get a group of seniors in our big shows. They're highly produced. I mean, we have a full band and costumes and lighting that is just unbelievable. And so...
do they participate in that? Is this a collaborative thing?
Do they participate in the...
In the writing, coming together with
the show? They actually, all the personal stories that are shared, they mm-hmm. write them themselves.
How about that?
So
and
they
then they
are,
give them
you know,
to you just, to decide which ones will make it into the show?
Yeah. You know, typically I start with some sort of a theme that I give them. And this year, of course, it's flashback.
Right.
And I gave them the example. My stepmother, Cindy, passed away 5 years ago from cancer. Mm-hmm. And on every Sunday growing up, she would make stuffed peppers. And so to this day, I go to Costco, I go to a restaurant, and I see a stuffed pepper, and I immediately think of Cindy. Mm-hmm. And so all of their, and so that's what I call a flashback. It's a reoccurring memory we have that's triggered by something else, and everybody has a million of them, right?
Right.
I mean, you go through your day and you smell something or you see something, and it just takes you to a different place. And so they, each one of the members of the group, wrote their own personal flashback. And I mean, the stories are so beautiful, and they're so honest and so heartfelt. Mm-hmm. And then in this, we are honoring the artists that lost their lives too soon. So the Janis Joplins and the Michael Jacksons, the Patsy Clines, Amy Winehouse, all of these artists that died really before their time.
Yeah.
So it's this great memory lane trip that the music invokes memories for people, and then these stories do, and it's quite moving.
Yeah, I mean, you include Janis Joplin and, like you said, you know, Kurt Cobain, so many others. Hank Williams, we've lost a lot of greats.
Yep.
And to know that they're bringing their music forward, that's so cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I was saying, we're paying honor and homage to these artists then, in a way. So it really is a performance unlike anything that folks have seen, and I think that's why people just keep coming back year after year.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing 9 shows this year.
You know what? We're actually doing 8.
Oh, only 8? It's not June 8th through the... Oh, I thought it was June 8th through the 17th.
We are June 8th through the 17th, but Geraldine, I've got to give them a couple days off.
I'm an artist, darling. I'm an artist. I'm not looking for days off.
Well, you know what? My buddy Catherine, who's just turned 94, she wants a couple of days off in there. So, we do Thursdays through Sundays.
Thursdays through Sunday, and of course Thursday, is that the matinee or is it Saturday that's the matinee?
We do matinees on Sundays and Thursdays.
Sundays and Thursdays. So if people want more information, where do they go?
You can go to our website at aliveandkickinmn.org.
Aliveandkickinmn.org.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And kickin is no G, because we're cool, right? So no G and the kicking.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And, of course, tickets are, $40 down to what?
So our opening night gala tickets are $40, and then from there they get a little cheaper, and then we offer seniors and student discounts at $28. So it's reasonable.
It is. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I haven't heard from you in a while, and to have you back on to talk about it and to know that it's going really well, that you are still doing it. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. Appreciate it. Again, we want to give out that website, aliveandkickinmn.org/cast, if you want to look at the cast. And, of course, this is happening Friday through June 17th at the Bloomington Center for the Arts. So Michael Matthew Farrell joining us again to talk about what is happening. I just love it. We cover a little bit of everything here on Center Stage, and that's the beauty of Minnesota, isn't it? That is it. That's when it feels just right. All right, it's been a pleasure being on with you. Make sure you get out and see as many shows as you can. We'll be back in a moment.
Listen, you wouldn't put a speedboat in your backyard pool.
Hey, no splashing!
You don't take a race car for a drive in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And you wouldn't take a motorcycle to spin class.
Time to climb, everyone! Woo! Let's get after it! Come on!
So why would you put the fastest new Samsung on a slow wireless network? Speed shouldn't be contained. Introducing the new Samsung Galaxy S9 on T-Mobile. The fastest Samsung ever demands the fastest network ever. Because fast should be fast. For a limited time, only at T-Mobile, get the Samsung Galaxy S9 half off after 24 monthly bill credits with trade-in. Join the Uncarrier today. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store.
Qualifying credit, plan, and finance agreement required. Fastest Samsung based on device download capabilities. LTE Cat 18. Actual speeds vary.